طيب إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا فنشك. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. All praises due to Allah, we praise Him, we seek Allah's forgiveness and we ask for Allah's assistance. Whomever Allah guides, no one can lead astray. And whomever Allah sets astray because of some evil in them, no one can guide. And I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His final messenger and His servant. The brother, mashallah, today was on point. And it was a really sensitive subject matter. It's actually a subject that some Muslims have a misconception about. And so the Shaykh began basically reminding us that who is it that has caused everything? Who is the creator? Who is the sustainer? Who is the provider? Who is the one who has and shows mercy? And the subject of the khutbah was the mercy of Allah. Allah's mercy. Rahman. And so when you recite the Fatiha, you say Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Both words are derived from the word Rahman, which is mercy. And one, yani they just take different forms in the language, like an adjective and an adverb in English, but the root word is the same, Rahman, which is what he was speaking about. And so what is basically, and it was very eloquent. You know, he had some poetry in there. He had some fancy terminologies that I'm not even going to attempt to try to translate to English, because it's just be wasting my time and your time. Because also I wanted to benefit myself from the brother. But the bottom line, I'll give you a summary of what he was saying, is that everything that we have is by the mercy of Allah. Everything that we experience is by the mercy of Allah. Whether it is Islam, whether it is guidance while we are being Muslims, whether it is people entering into Jannah, whether it is people having family and spouses and children, the food, the clothes that we wear, everything is by the mercy of Allah. And he was trying to give us a difference between the two realities. Same things, but one, the mercy of Allah is present and there's a certain outcome, and then the same thing without the mercy of Allah will have the opposite outcome. Like for example, having knowledge, for example. Having knowledge about Islam, if it's accompanied by the mercy of Allah, then it will be a source of benefit for the individual, where he will experience it and those who are around him will benefit likewise. But if the same knowledge is present with an individual, but the mercy of Allah is not accompanied with it, then that same knowledge will become a source of destruction for the individual, because it is not accompanied by Allah's mercy. And you could think of anything else with that same mentality. Having a wife. If you have a wife who is righteous and you intend on bringing some righteous children, inshallah, if the mercy of Allah is accompanied with this contract, and if the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the house where the people and the husband and the wife are treating each other kindly and with the children and so forth, if the mercy of Allah is present, then these very children will be a source of mercy for you. And they'll be among, inshallah, the ones who, when you pass away and you die and you return to Allah, you will have a righteous child who will seek forgiveness for you, who will supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you. Whereas the same children, the same family, without the mercy of Allah, could be the reason of the destruction. I'm sure everybody, but I hope that eventually everybody will start reciting Surah Al-Kahf on Jumu'ah, the cave, in Arabic. Tayyib, it might be difficult at the beginning, but wallahi it's worth trying. There are narrations from the Messenger ﷺ that indicate the virtues of reciting this particular surah on Friday. Now, in the surah, there's a part, You know, when Musa alayhi salam met Al-Khudr, which was a righteous man whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given knowledge, according to some scholars, he was a prophet. Nonetheless, the message in Surah Al-Kahf, the cave, it's in the middle of the Quran, after Al-Isra, after Surah Al-Isra. What happened was, this man had, Allah had given him knowledge. So Moses, Musa alayhi salam, wanted to accompany this man so he could learn from him. So he allowed him after some discussions, and they put, laid down some conditions that, okay, you could follow me if you do such, don't ask me about nothing until I tell you. Don't ask me why you're doing such and such. So anyways, at one point, while they were walking, they came into a young boy. So Al-Khudr killed him. Musa alayhi salam was shocked. لَقَدْ قَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ لَقَدْ جِئْتَ شَيْئًا نُكْرًا. He says, you have killed the soul without, it's not like a payback. He didn't do anything. This is a young boy. This is straight up oppression. You have brought about something that is outrageous. يعني نكرة يعني منكر. يعني you do not, the mind doesn't accept it. So anyways, then he continued with him. Then later on, after he told him, look man, we can't be with each other no more because you don't seem to understand that I told you already, you don't have enough patience to stay with me. He said, I'm going to tell you the issue. He says, أما الغلام فكان أبواه مؤمنين فقشينا أن يرهقهما طغيانا وكفرا فأردنا أن يبدلهما ربهما خيرا منه زكاة وأقرب رحما. He says, as for the boy, أما الغلام فكان أبواه مؤمنين. His fathers, his parents were believers. And we were afraid that if he grows up, he will cause them to go into disbelief. That very child, Allah out of His mercy took him away from his family, from his parents. Had he remained, according to Allah's promise in the Quran, he would have made them become disbelievers. Perhaps they would be attached to him. Perhaps he would do something, invite him to his belief system, which will not be Islam, and he will wind up misguiding his people. So out of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he took him away. فَأَرَدْنَا أَن يُبْدِلَهُمَا رَبُّهُمَا خَيْرًا مِنْهُ زَكَاةً وَأَقْرَبَ رُحْمًا. So we wanted that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their Lord, will substitute for them another one who will be more pure and closer in the kinship ties. Meaning a righteous child who will not be like the first one. So here this child is a blessing from Allah. Allah is the one who provided them with the child. But because the mercy of Allah was not accompanied with this child, he would have been a source of destruction. Whereas Jesus, peace be upon him, who was the son of Mary, was a source of mercy. Because he was accompanied with mercy. So he was beneficial for the people. This boy would have been otherwise. Again, this is general. Anything you could think of with the mercy of Allah is going to be fruitful, good feedback. If the mercy of Allah is not present, then it's going to be a source of agony and pain. So then now we discuss mercy and we spoke about mercy. How do you attain mercy? I mean, we need to know how to get to mercy in order for us to be safeguarded, for all these things that we mentioned to be of benefit for us. Mercy could be attained through various ways. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran mentioned that His mercy has wasi'at kulla shay. Rahmati wasi'at kulla shay. My mercy has encompassed everything. I shall write it, I shall give it to those who have taqwa. Taqwa is piety. Piety is doing what Allah commanded, doing what Allah and His Messenger commanded sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and staying away from what they forbade. This is taqwa. In order for us to attain the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to have taqwa. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us, وَاتَّبِعُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ or وَأَطِعُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Speaking about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, He says, so follow Him or obey Him, perhaps you will attain mercy. So attaining mercy is conditional to obedience. So the more we are obedient to Allah, the more we are sincere to Allah, the more that we are qualified to receive the mercy of Allah. And once we have the mercy of Allah, then we are on the right track. In this world, And inshallah we'll be on the right track in the grave, and we will be on the better track in the hereafter. Because it is by the mercy of Allah that the believers will enter into paradise. It is not going to be only with our deeds. It is beyond that. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we should ask for, is the key. And the heavens and the earth are up and functioning by the mercy of Allah. If it wasn't for the mercy of Allah, everybody will be destroyed. Because human beings earn it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, if Allah is going to send mercy upon people, nobody can hold it back. And if Allah is going to hold it back, nobody can send it. If Allah deprives an individual, or a family, or a community, or a society, or a country from His mercy, no one can give Him mercy. And all you will see is the traces and the trails of corruption and evil, because Allah's mercy is not accompanying these people, because they don't believe usually. And if they do believe, they are not taking the steps towards attaining the mercy of Allah. So this is more or less with a lot more that the Shaykh said. So forgive me for not being able to bring it to you in a similar manner. Nonetheless, it's all about the mercy of Allah. And we do not despair from the mercy of Allah. As Muslims, as submitters to Allah, it is prohibited for any one of us to despair from the mercy of Allah. Never think that Allah will not forgive you. And the Shaykh quoted some narrations from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O son of Adam, O son of Adam, if you come to me with sins equal, high up, that will reach the heavens, I will come to you with the equivalent amount of forgiveness if you ask for forgiveness. It doesn't matter how much we oppress ourselves, it doesn't matter how much we sin, the idea is that we seek forgiveness and we repent. It doesn't mean that we should go sin purposely. We're talking about the sin that we fall into out of weakness, not the sin that we deliberately perform. But we don't despair from Allah's mercy, because Allah promised that He will forgive all these sins if we utilize the means in order to receive the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says in the Quran, as Shaykh read in the salah and in the beginning of his khutbah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. All you who believe, have taqwa, have piety, do that which Allah commanded, stay away from what He forbade, the way He deserves it. And let each soul look at what it has prepared for tomorrow. And fear Allah. Twice in the verse. Fear Allah. Look what each soul has prepared for tomorrow. Then again Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Verily Allah is all knowing, is encompassed all that which you do. Nothing misses Him, subhanahu. He knows the details of affairs. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. And do not be like those who forgot about Allah, meaning they disregarded His revelation, they disregarded His commands, they disregarded His prohibitions. فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. So He made them forget about themselves. And when you forget about yourself, you don't do that which will be beneficial for it. So you wind up wasting your time with nonsense. So inshallah, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower His mercy upon us and to help us utilize the means by attaining knowledge first and foremost, and knowing the verses in the Quran and the hadith from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like the hadith where He used to say, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum bi rahmatika astaghith. Ya Hayy, O Allah, the living, Al Qayyum, the one which everything is functioning by His will. Kullu shay'in qa'imun. بِاللَّهِ جَلَّ وَعَلَى. Everything is functioning because of Allah. بِرَحْمَتِكَ أَسْتَغِيثُ. It is your mercy. For your mercy I am begging. أَصْلِحْ لِي شَأْنِي كُلَّهِ. rectify for me all of my situation. وَلَا تَكِلْنِي إِلَى نَفْسِي طَرْفَةَ عَيْنِ And do not leave me for my own self, not even the blink of an eye. Because if we go outside the mercy of Allah and Allah's facilities for us, even a blink of an eye, we will go off. So we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of our affairs. So these are some of the narrations. There are other verses in the Quran that teach us how to attain the mercy of Allah. So we need to read the Quran, the book of Allah, the light, the guidance, in order to interact with these verses that deal with rahmah. So we will implement the qualities that there are too many to mention that will make us attain mercy. Likewise with the sunnah and the way of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Umar. Yeah, he did say Umar. Radiallahu anhu. Oh, he mentioned the hadith that Umar radiallahu anhu narrated. Barakallahu feek. I think we mentioned this here before. That the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was his companions. And it was during some sort of there was some sort of battle. Nonetheless, at one point there was this woman who was running around looking for a child. Remember, we spoke about this before. So she went looking for a child. She would go to the left, go to the right, go and forward, go back, and so forth, until finally she seen a child among the children, among the people over there. So she ran to the child and she hugged him with all love and compassion, and then she breastfed him. It was her own child. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon seeing this with his companions, he said, do you see, can you imagine, do you think this woman has the ability to throw her son in the fire? He said, no, la wallah, O Messenger of Allah, no way. No way, look at how she was acting before she got her child. After she gets her child, she's going to throw him in the fire? He says, verily, Allah is more merciful to his creation than this woman to her child. This is the narration, barakallahu fiqh, very, very relevant. Now, but of course the people who will attain this mercy are the believers. The disbelievers will have some of this mercy in this dunya, in this world. That's why they're still functioning and living and having fun. But later on, as soon as they die, that mercy is only for the believers. Disbelievers are disqualified, because they lack the very thing that they are here for. And if you lack the very thing that you are here for, as if you're not here anymore. You're just wasting your time. You either believe in Allah and you worship Him alone, which is why you're alive, or you're on some other methodology. And any other methodology is a one-way road to the hellfire. No, you had a question, Akhi?
Yeah, brother, what's the surah that we have to recite during Friday?
Surah Al-Kahf, the cave. The cave, you know, like the cave. Yes, C-A-V-E.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, it's in the middle of the Quran. If you open the Quran, it's like right in the middle. Chapter 18. I never know the chapter numbers, barakallahu fi. Chapter 18. Now, read it every Friday if you're able to do so. You have from the Fajr all the way till Maghrib. A whole day. And even if you take your time, remember we said this morning, you will get double the reward. If you read and you struggle because you haven't really mastered the Arabic or the recitation, you will be gaining double reward because you are stuttering and you are struggling, trying to recite. Wallah, it's worth it. 10 good deeds for each letter, at least. Big bank account, inshallah.
Times and days of asking masjid.
Yes, yes, barakallahu fiqh. There are, well, the mercy is conditional with the dua. Well, basically you ask for mercy at the time where the supplication is accepted. We discussed this last week. The supplication is accepted between the adhan and the iqamah, the last hour of Jumu'ah, when the imam gets on the minbar, in the state of sujood, before you give the tasleem, after you recite the Ibrahimiyya, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, so forth, when the rain falls, and so forth. There's a big list of, in the last third of the night, where this supplication is accepted. So apparently this is the suitable time to ask for Allah's mercy, because then our supplication is accepted, we will receive the mercy, then we will be successful, inshallah.
after you have meanings, you are learning here.
Yeah.
You continue to learn here. وَمَا فَعَلْتُهُ عَنْ عَمْدِهِ
نعم.
Oh, how do you say that? I'm saying I'm Muslim.
Yes. Yeah. That I didn't do it for my own command.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Because it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who had... The scholars differ about whether he was a prophet or not.
Yeah, yeah. Nah.
Yes, yes. So they say, if Allah has given him knowledge and this and that, then he must be a prophet. Then the other scholars said, not necessarily. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can choose some of his servants. And he said, إِنْ هُوَ عَبْدٌ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا أَنْعَمْنَا عَلَيْهِ, that he is just a servant of ours. He would have mentioned prophethood at that state. So there's a difference of opinion among the scholars whether Khidr, the one whom Musa alayhi salam followed, whether he was a prophet of Allah or not. Either way, whatever he was doing is because of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wasn't just going around killing people and doing stuff like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him knowledge about some of these things that will happen in the future, and he acted according to that. Alaykum salam. What are you, Shaykh?
Where is Khalid?
Oh!